Let's bring in our next guest who reports very well for the NFL Network. He is a killer when it comes to gathering information. And, of course, he is a Philadelphia native, Mike Garofalo. Mike, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, doctor. The doctor is in.
Yes.
Dr. Missinelli.
Yeah, well, tell me what your information is.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. And see, the timeline is the key part here, because and nobody really is going to be able to break this all down, because there could have been some kind of fracture a couple of weeks ago that didn't come up on the test that they did. I mean, this is a common thing sometimes for and listen, there's different kinds of fractures and things that can lead to fractures. You can have a stress type fracture where it kind of builds over time, and there if you don't necessarily get it in the first test, you may see it a little bit later as it develops. So there's different ways of getting it. I don't want to get too deep into the medical stuff, but the point is, we can't sit here, you and I, and even people involved, and know, okay, X is when it occurred for sure. Mm-hmm. And so they may have, I tweeted earlier, and I came back and kind of corrected it, because my point was, look, if you're saying that there was some kind of thing here that they missed, and you want to criticize them as a medical staff, fine, go crazy. But the suggestion of, like, you know, they were hiding something from Wentz and they knew about it and didn't tell him, is just that's not the case at all. And really, why would a team hide an injury from a franchise player that they need to be healthy for years?
Well, it also opens them up to major lawsuits if they did that. Right. So this compressed fracture may have happened a couple weeks ago, and all parties determined that it was okay for him to play through it. A lot of quarterbacks will play through things like that. Rest is what heals this, not surgery, and it's not getting better. It's kind of like just a fissure is what it is.
Again, ask your question.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, like, it's gotten to the point now where he can't play through it. And that's the only thing that's declarative about this whole thing, that whatever happened in this last game exacerbated it to the point where they're going to shut him down for the season. That's what we know.
That's my hunch on this one, that I would lean that way. But I'm told that there are some people involved in this one from a medical perspective that say, hold on, let's see what's going on here, because it could be something that he could play through. And the other thing I'm told, and let me go through, hold on, going through my text here because I want to get this right. Somebody involved here told me it is healing already, and the team is weighing if there's a risk of him, any risk of him playing. So they've already actually seen some healing between when they first discovered it, obviously, and so that could be a couple of days here where they believe that this thing is starting to heal. It's the old Mike Tyson clip, right? My back is broken, spinal.
Yes.
It sounds bad. And it's painful. And those spasms, by the way, a lot of teams will hide behind, hey, he's got spasms.
Exactly.
Well, the spasms are a symptom of something else that is going on, and the muscles are contracting because there is a greater issue here. And again, that could have been what was going on here, but they don't believe that, number one. And number two, it was not detectable on their tests.
Okay. Now, my information is that the medical staff has decided to shut him down. So we'll see what happens with that.
I've heard that. But they're also, and I think Jeff McClain tweeted this out, that Wentz is getting his own opinions here, which do not take that and, oh, Carson Wentz doesn't trust the Eagles medical staff, and how could he, you know, spit in their faces like that? If any player knows, or any agent worth his salt knows, okay, we're going to go get another opinion on this, because we don't want to throw a guy on the field, or we don't want to necessarily take him off if he can still play. They just want a second opinion on this.
Yes.
So that's kind of what's going on right now.
Talking to Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. Mike, the two questions, I guess, that people have through this is that, okay, if they have known this back situation with him, why would they run him on an option keeper on third and one? And that's a smaller issue to the bigger issue, which is he now in the classification of an injury-prone quarterback that they may not want to commit to with that mega quarterback contract?
I do not sense that that is going to be an issue. I believe that they are going to, now look, maybe it doesn't get done early in the offseason. Maybe it drags on and it's something that happens right before the start of the season, if not later. I just have trouble, like, slapping an injury prone label on a guy. A lot of times, Mike, you know, it's with, let's take RG3, for example. When he was coming back with the Browns, I remember talking to somebody and they said, listen, the problem with this guy is, you know, all right, maybe he's going to get healthy and he's still got a little, he's still got a good skill set, blah, blah, blah. The guy's too lean and light, and when he takes a shot, his, you know, his limbs are flying all over the place. He's just a guy that you worry is going to get beat down. Wentz is a thicker guy, you know. He's built better than that. But that being said, you know, he's not even Roethlisberger. I mean, look how big Roethlisberger is. He takes shots.
You get banged up.
If you play a brand of football that lends itself to you taking shots, whether it's Roethlisberger hanging in the pocket a little longer or Wentz keeping the ball on some kind of a read option or whatever, you're going to take shots. You're going to get hurt over the long haul. So I do wonder now if the Eagles, and I don't want to say injury prone, but if the Eagles look at this and say, okay, maybe we have to do a better job of protecting our quarterback, and maybe we need to adjust some of the things that we do so that we don't have to put him in a situation where he's such an ultra-competitive guy that he's going to fight for every last yard. He's going to put himself out there and maybe take some shots.
Yes. Now, what happened to the Eagles this year? There are all kinds of theories. But it's not unusual that a team that wins a Super Bowl will come back this way. From your perspective, what happened? From league-wide perspective, what has befallen the Eagles this year?
I think there's an... listen, there's a lot of theories out there, Mike. Guess what? They're all right, okay? Because there's a... the number of things that came into play. I don't want to put it on this whole Super Bowl hangover thing because I think that's a disservice to what these guys did this offseason. You know, they put in the work. They truly did try to refocus themselves as quickly as possible. It's not like everybody was going on vacation and hanging out in the islands for 3 months after the Super Bowl win. But that being said, sometimes it's hard to keep that edge, and sometimes it's hard to play the way that, look at how the Bears are playing. Don't the Bears right now, especially defensively, remind you of this Eagles team last year? Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep that in this league. And a couple of weeks ago, to get down to the micro level on this one, you know, Fletcher Cox and I were talking about, you know, what you guys don't have as many turnovers, because that's what even Doug Peterson said. You look at our numbers compared to year over year. Yeah, but the turnovers are down. Okay, well, that's a big one because that's a symptom of your defense not playing the way it did last year. And Cox was telling me, well, we don't have guys playing behind the chains. We're not getting tackles for a loss or tackles for no gain on first down, and now teams have more manageable situations. And that's really a lot of times, okay, guy's going to go in there, guy's going to disrupt the play, guy's going to make a tackle in the backfield. And by the way, I checked the numbers after he said that. He was absolutely right. They went from ranking one of the highest teams in the league as far as second down yardage to one of the lowest teams in the league defensively second down yardage. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of the little things I think edgewise you lose. On the other side of the football, I still say, and I know he just got fired the other day, I still say the loss of John DeFilippo, number one, and Frank Reich, number two, not in that order, but those two guys, that's two major losses. You lost your offensive coordinator and the guy that would have been your OC and practically supplemented your offensive coordinator last year in a lot of situations. No knock against Mike Groh and Press Taylor, who are working their way into those roles. Big losses there. Big losses.
And big losses, but does it dilute the abilities of the head coach in any way? That he's not, he's only a good coach if he had those two guys?
No, listen, that's the other thing. I don't want to insult Doug Peterson.
No, I'm trying to throw that out because that's one of my theories. I would hate to think that my coach needs those two guys or else he's not a great head coach.
No, I don't want to say that. Okay. And listen, he calls the plays too.
It's yes,
like
he does.
Involved mm-hmm. offensively at all. I don't want to make it seem that way, but those guys were just like really clicking, you know, and they came out and played so well early in games last year. They have not played well early in games this year. And that's a testament to how well they game planned last year and how it took other teams a while to catch up to what they were doing. And that's, there's another symptom, of winning the Super Bowl. Everybody looks at you and says, okay, what's that team doing? Let's figure out a way to, cause now the target's on you. So now a lot of the things that you were doing, and we've heard it week in, week out from Carson Wentz. Well, defense, mm-hmm. they're playing us differently this year than they did last year. Of course they are, cause they sat there and watched the tape and said, hey, this could be affected. Maybe we'll play a little bit more zone coverage to take away that RPO and the quick slant and the quick throw, which they've done by playing a little more zone than man, where you can rub a guy off that way. timeout. Take that one back. Where you can, where you can.
What are you, what, so, somebody else grabbing you? You got to get off? You'll be with him in a second. One more question for you. You know exactly what's going to happen here. Nick Foles is going to beat the Rams, and we're going to, you know, it's Philadelphia, and we're going to be talking about this whole scenario. In your opinion, what chance do they have now to get that last spot with Minnesota free falling? Do they have a chance to slide in here with Nick Foles?
I think it's tough. Then you got Houston on deck. Minnesota. It's a scramble for that last spot. And the team that I was looking that might have more of a shot than we're crediting them is the Giants. Now, the Giants have to win out, right? Which is probably the most difficult, hard to believe part of the scenario, by the way, is that they have to win out. Everything else that they need help from like four or five teams or whatever it is actually doable. They got one the other night with Seattle beating Minnesota. Listen, I think in the end, I'd still hand that spot to Minnesota. I think they can put it together long enough and play a good defense enough to win a couple of games here and get themselves in there. To me, even if you get in, how much damage are you going to do? Probably not much, right?
Yeah, I get you. All right, Mike, listen, we appreciate it. And how about our man Tyrone getting his own show now? I turn around, there's you on my big screen. I turn around, there's Tyrone on my big screen.
I was just talking to him before I came out. I've seen clips here and there. I haven't had a chance to catch the show.
You got to catch the show.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that swag,
You got to get it on the app. Of course he's got the swag.
We got to hook up the app.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, man, continued success, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, Mike Garofalo, Comcast Business Hotline from the NFL Network. There you go. Both of you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.